Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. And today I'm joined with my friend and author, Kerry, who I met back at Arthur Findlay College in 2018, and then had the absolute joy of being in her class and working with her in 2022. And she has got the most incredible story about her journey with spirit and how she came to be. So I can't wait to share a bit of her life with you. So hi, Kerry. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you, Hannah. Lovely to be here. And look, I know my surname is a tricky one. It's actually Elderuccio.
I'm so sorry.
It's really hard. It's a difficult one. No,
I say it again.
I was a Bell, and then I became an Elderuccio. So
Elderuccio.
Elderuccio.
I'm still hammering your surname. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Isn't that interesting? So, what's the heritage of that surname?
My husband's Australian-born, but from Sicily. So his parents are Sicilian. So he's first generation Australian, but from Sicily, yes.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, so welcome. Apologies. So tell us a little bit about you. What do you do?
Well, I do a number of things, and I have done a number of things over my lifetime, but I do work professionally as a medium. I live in Melbourne, Australia, so apologies in advance for my accent if no one can understand it on your side of the world. So I live in North Fitzroy in Melbourne. I do private readings from home, and I'm also a published author. I've written two books, which we will talk about later, but A Mother's Journey and Demystifying Mediumship. And I've kept very busy doing that. And I'm also writing at the moment a fictional novel, which is a murder mystery, to throw something different into the mix.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. So much I want to cover with you. Tell us about how you got introduced to the spirit world.
It's an interesting question. I guess, like a lot of mediums, when I was a child, I experienced, movement in the bedroom, shapes, different things. I'd feel the bed depress, that someone was sitting there. But all of these things, they never frightened me. And I never said anything to my parents or to my sister, who I shared a room with, who clearly was not having any of these experiences because she just wasn't. And so I just took it for granted that, there's things that I can't explain, but it feels safe. And I always believed that you could never die. So I knew that people went to heaven, but I could never understand, or what I call heaven, but I could never understand why that you could actually die, because that little voice from within you, nothing could ever kill that. It was impossible. And I was about five when I had these beliefs. So that was always the way I was. And I tragically lost my dad as an 18-year-old. He passed away in a workplace accident at 48. And I hated going to the cemetery, because I just knew dad wasn't actually there. He was beside me. So that I always had that understanding. But once again, I never said anything to mom or my sister or to anyone. That was just my understanding, my belief. And I would talk to dad, and I continued to do so. But for me, the real turning point came 10 years ago, on the 3rd of May 2012, which was exactly 34 years to the day after losing my dad. So he died on the 3rd of May 1978. And on the 3rd of May 2012, our 19-year-old son Sam was killed in a car accident. And that was a life-changing event for my husband and for our daughter Carla, who's 22 months older than Sam. So when that tragically happened, literally a switch went on for me, and I just immediately felt, even the day of his passing, when we got back from the police station, I felt Sam's presence around me. And but once I couldn't say anything to Sergio or to Carla, so it was very much a very private thing. And even that first night, and I've never told Sergio, my husband, this, when we went to sleep that first night, I felt Sam lay between us, and which for me was extremely comforting. But I think that would have been way too much to share with Serge. And so that was the beginning of me just really taking a journey. At that point, I didn't know what mediums did. I didn't know what psychics did. I always just believed that everyone was just communicating with their loved ones, but I didn't know that people went to a medium. So,
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course. Yes. Because, and to you, if it's been a natural state, why would
Yes.
anybody? Why would you need the medium? So,
Exactly.
just that's, I mean, the emotion of that, that it's every parent's absolute fear, worst nightmare. And to
Absolutely.
have to live through that. And then that mix of, because I know, because I know you, and I've had the honor of connecting with Sam, that he's very present in your life. So you still have a relationship with him, but it's not the same. It's not. So to feel him there and also be alone. I always think the mediumship path is quite lonely, to not be able to share these things with people around you because you don't want to upset them. It's just so much going on in there. Now, I know from your book, shortly after, it was only a few 6 weeks, was
Correct. Yes, I was just going to mention that to you. Yeah,
it?
and then yes. So what happened after Sam passed? My sister-in-law came to me, Serge's sister, and said that she'd been to see a medium, and I'm like, a what? And she said, a medium. And I said, well, what does she do? And she said, well, she communicated with Sam. And I'm like, what? And she said, and Sam was there. And I was just blown away. And I just didn't know that these sorts of people existed. And I knew that I had to see a medium, but something told me I needed my own medium. Just find one that completely independent. And I have no idea what I Googled, but a woman's name came up here in Melbourne, and her name was Lorraine Kalros. And I contacted Lorraine, and something also told me, don't give any details, just don't even give your surname, just say Kerry, which is what I did. Made an appointment and went home to Carla and Serge and made the big announcement that I was off to see a medium. And of course, they're like, what? Because they had less idea than I did, because they weren't even obviously even having that personal communication.
Yeah.
So I, excuse me, explained what little I did know, and Serge was quite concerned, and he said, look, can I come with you? And I said, look, yes, if you want to, that's fine. And so we had a bit of a trade-off. He and Carla were going to see a grief counsellor at the Traffic Accident Commission, which we call TAC here in Australia. And they seemed quite happy doing that. And so we made an agreement that I would go in the morning to grief counselling with him. He would come to see the medium with me in the afternoon. So I rang Lorraine back, just said, look, could my husband come? I didn't give his name or anything like that. She just knew I was taking a husband. So the morning of the reading and the counselling, I was just so excited because I honestly didn't know what was going to happen, but I knew intuitively that something special was going to happen that day. And I spoke to Sam, just as I do every single day, and I said to him, look, sweetheart, mum and dad are off to see a medium this afternoon. I don't know what she does. I don't know how you're supposed to get there. And I gave him the actual time, 2 o'clock, and I gave him the physical address, whatever the street name and number was and the suburb. And now when I look back, it just seems so silly, but I didn't know how's he going to find this woman? And so we went to the counselling. I absolutely hated it, just sobbed my way through the whole thing, because as much as the woman was a lovely woman, it was, they just don't, there's no concept with grief counselling, with TAC at least. I don't know if it's standard for grief counselling, I don't know. But there was no talk of the afterlife, no talk of the continuation of Sam's soul, no talk about him being able to communicate with us. And these were all my natural beliefs. And just to be told, look, you just have to move on in life and get over it, and just, he's not with you anymore, but you've got great memories, and all of that went absolutely against every single shred of belief that I had. So we left, I left in a worse state than when I got there. And I said to Sergio, I would never be returning again. And he accepted that very quickly. And we got to Lorraine's house and we knock on the door, and this normal looking, suburban, middle-aged medium woman answers the door. And I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting just a normal looking person. So, which makes me laugh now when I look at you and I, and we are normal people and we do the same thing. But we went in and sat down and, not knowing what to expect. And Lorraine said that the strangest thing had been happening for her all morning, and that was that there's been a spirit waiting. She said that never normally happens. The spirits that, the spirit communicators normally arrive when the sitters arrive, being us. And then she continued on and she said, I know that you are a mother grieving the loss of your son, aged between 18 and 20, and Sam was 19. So you can imagine, the tissues were out immediately. And then she started with the reading, and she brought Sam forward and she said how he was also there with my father, and my father was there, excuse me, to help him into the spirit world or to welcome him. And that was like more tissues. And then she was going on saying how there was a small woman dressed in black standing with them just a little bit to one side. And Serge had tragically lost his mum when he was 16, and she was only 42 or 44. And so she was there as well. And so Lorraine just gave this magnificent reading with all of this information about Dad and Serge's mum and Sam. And thankfully, she was recording it, because there is so much to take in at a reading. So for anyone that's had a reading that has tried to remember it all, it is impossible. And she kept talking about, Sam was talking about, there was this big round, she's trying to describe something, a big round thing. And she said there's horseshoes and there's horses. And, because we're not understanding exactly how to, process everything, I'm saying, oh yes, well, Sam did quite like horses and I took him horse riding a few times. And all of this was true, but she kept saying, no, that's not what it is. There's more to it. And I've said, look, I'm really not sure. And it was about a week later when Lorraine sent us the CD, and I could not believe my own stupidity when I played it back. We had held Sam's memorial service. We'd had a private cremation that morning. When I say private, we could barely keep the numbers to under 100 for the chapel. And because Carla said we need to book somewhere really, really big for his celebration of his life, we booked the celebrity room at the Moonee Valley Racecourse. Now, that is a room that holds 700 people seated and 1,000, with standing room. And it's at the racetrack. That's what Sam was trying to get across: the horses, the horseshoes, the big round thing, the circle.
Amazing.
Yeah, and we, but it, and then it was just like, oh my God, how stupid are we? And it was just, and all of these things that, and then I, listened to that tape more and more, and then there were more things that made sense. And when we drove away from that reading with Lorraine, my heart just lifted, and my whole life actually went from going in that direction to going in that direction. And I said to Serge on the way home, what would you have said if I'd gone alone and told you what happened? And he said he would have had me certified, which, probably point taken, because it was just, I was telling him all of the, if I tried to explain all of this, it would just be like, oh no. But he said, I can't deny what I just witnessed. And he was blown away by it. And so from then, I just read as much as I could possibly read, but I found it really difficult to find books that actually answered the questions that I had. And I had specific questions. I wanted to know more about the afterlife and what they experienced when they got there, and were there other parents that had written books, and all of these different things. So I struggled to find those, but I did find a whole new section in the bookstores, other than cookbooks and, murder mystery novels and things like that, and travel books. So I enjoyed doing that. And in 2014, early on that year, I was really feeling quite flat, and I needed to find something to connect with. I needed to find a group, but once again, I didn't know what that group might be, and I didn't know how to find them. So I resorted to Google again. Once again, I have no idea what I typed in, but this is also, the marvelous thing about how the spirit world works. And a woman's name popped up, Toni Riley. And Toni is an Australian woman, and she's in Melbourne as well. And she was running these circles. I didn't even know what a circle was, but I signed up, paid 8 weeks in advance, and attended. And I sobbed my heart out every single week with these beautiful women who were all strangers. But it was such a cathartic experience. And in that circle, which was actually a spiritual development circle, we didn't do mediumship, we were just doing psychic work. But I was exposed to the world of tarot cards and pendulums and energy and meditation. And oh, I just loved it. And I could do all of this stuff straight away. And it got stronger and stronger each week, and I loved it. And I remember after a year saying to, or about halfway through that year, I said to Tony, "I know you're a medium as well. How do you learn to be one of those?" And she told me Arthur Findlay College, and I thought, fantastic. Well, she said, "I'll go home and I'll Google that, and I'll go do some classes there. That'll be probably here in Victoria or in another state of Australia or so on." And she said to me, "Kerry, it's actually in the UK." And I'm like, "Oh, that's even better, because I love my travelling." So that didn't faze me at all. And I did go home that night, looked at all of these courses, and it had to be, I knew I wanted to get there as soon as I could early in the year, because I just could not wait. And there were 2 weeks that fell between Serge's birthday on Valentine's Day and Sam's birthday on the 13th of March. So there was a 2 week sort of courses that sounded fantastic during that time. And it gave me time to have a few days in London, visit some friends in Cambridge and Oxford, and then visit a girlfriend and a husband for a few days in Dubai on the way home. So that's what I ended up doing. And I actually went there with a girlfriend who I hadn't seen for over 40 years. And we met at kinder when we were four, and then we went to primary school together. So our whole lifetime was only a very short span of 4 to 12 years, and we went to different high schools. And through the magic of Facebook, I had posted something about some, I don't know, something to do with my spiritual stuff. And her name's Sandra, and she wrote back and said, "I'm actually studying mediumship, Kerry, with Lisa Williams." And I'm doing it remotely. And I'm like, "Oh, wow." And I told her how I was going to this college, and I hadn't booked it at that point. And she said, "Do you want company?" And I said, "Why not?" And so I remember going home and making a couple of big announcements to the family. A, I'm off to England to study mediumship. And B, I'm going with my friend Sandra. And they're both like, "Who's Sandra? We've never heard you talk about Sandra." And I'm like, "Oh, we went to kinder and primary school together." And, at this point, I'm 55 or something when this was all taking place. And they're like, "Oh my God. It might be a disaster. What if you don't like one another anymore?" And all of this. And there were fair comments, very fair comments. Some, many years had passed, 43 of them, I think. And but I just knew that it would work out. So Sandra and I headed, she lived in Sydney, and we went off, and it just happened that she knew the friends, or knew of the friends that I was staying with in Oxford. That was a lovely friend, Australian woman who tragically has since passed. She and her husband, Helen and David, were in Oxford. Then I was staying with my friend Brigitte in Cambridge, and then she knew my other friend Lorraine and her family in Dubai, from Dubai. So yeah, I know it's just all meant to be, and we both did our mediumship there, and it was at Arthur Findlay College in 2015 that my mediumship was put to the test, and I actually found out that I had the ability. So yeah,
Amazing. Wow. What
and
a
I
journey.
was 55 years old when I found out.
So I'm assuming from what you said, I mean, obviously I know anyway, but for the listeners, that because you couldn't find the kind of book that you wanted, you then decided to create
Yes,
your
that's I do. I work in mysterious ways,
first
Hannah. And so yes, I did. I decided in 2017. I went to the college, as I said, in 2015. I went back again in 2016 for 2 more weeks back to back, and then in 2017, I couldn't wait to get back there again. So I booked a course in January into February, which was fabulous. And I knew that I was going to write this book because I wanted to share, everything. And I remember saying once again to Carla and Serge, I was going to write a book, and they're like, "But do you know how to write?" And I'm like, "No, but it'll happen. It'll be fine." And they're like, "Oh God, I sometimes wonder what they think of me." But anyway, they are both very proud. So, I bought an exercise book, just a blank paper book, and I thought I'll take that away to Arthur Findlay, and look, I'll have this thing half nailed. I'll have loads of time to write. Just so naive. I got to the college, and I had a wonderful reading with Angie Morris, who's one of the tutors there, who I've got to know very well. And I was actually having a spiritual assessment. So, as you would know, Hannah, that's not a mediumship reading. It's actually where the tutors are looking around in it within our own aura and our own energy to see how we're progressing. Bless you, with our mediumship, so they can see how you're going or not going. And so that's all going along really well, and I was really happy with what she was saying about me. And all of a sudden, I felt Sam come in, and it was just like, oh, and I'm talking to him in my own mind telepathically, and I'm like, sweetheart, I'm, in the middle of this, and it's not going to be a mediumship reading. But he was so excited, and I'm saying to him in my own mind, calm down, calm down. And then Angie, of course, knew what was happening, and she's just stopped, and she said, "Carrie," she said, "this is not supposed to be a mediumship reading, but your son is here." And for me, that was also brilliant because this was still early days for me, and I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't actually just making all this stuff up, because
Yeah,
as you know, it
sure.
feels like you're making it up. So to have her confirm that, that was brilliant as well. And I was so pleased. And she said, "He's talking about a book. You're going to be writing a book." And I said, "I know, I know. I'm hoping to start it." She said, "Oh, don't worry, you'll be starting it and you'll be finishing it. And your son is so proud of you that you're actually doing it. And he wants you to, get onto it." And I was like, oh God, that was just amazing. And then the following week, no, later that week, sorry, I had another reading with Sharon Harvey, who I also adore there. And Sharon was doing a mediumship reading for me. Sam was there. And once again, she said, "Oh, you're writing a book." And I'm like, "Oh, here we go." And she said, "There'll actually be more than one book. There's going to be more." And I'm like, "Okay." So that's what happened. I got home from the college, literally, a day or two later, went into the city, bought myself a new laptop, which we're talking on right now. And
Hey.
yeah, and I just started writing it. And I was working pretty much full time for a fashion company at the time. So I'd be writing after work, weekends. If I had a day off, I'd do it then. And I really just let it unfold. And I think in many ways, I know now that a lot of it was just given to me, was channeled. The fact that because I'd go back and I'd reread it, and I'm like, who wrote that? And then it's like, well, you did, fool.
Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, so I did write it, and A Mother's Journey, A Story of Everlasting Love and Evidence of Life After Death was published in 2018, and it sold at the college. They've been selling it for 4 years now, which is fantastic. And it was picked up. It was distributed by Simon and Schuster Australia, and it went into all the major bookstores in Australia and New Zealand. One of our major oh gosh, what are they called? Department stores here bought it. They bought 800 copies. A store called Big W that was, and it's been amazing. So I was just so proud, and I've just had so many parents contact me to say that they've read the book and how I've made them open their eyes to a different way of looking at the passing of whether it be their children or a loved one, because I've sort of opened the door for everyday people just to not miss or dismiss what's actually going on. And that's what I wrote it to be a book of hope, and it's been just that. So I'm absolutely thrilled.
It's beautiful, and you're right, spirit are so subtle that I think the biggest thing for us is believing. But as I always say, they're around us all the time. If they weren't subtle, we'd probably go nuts. So there has to be the balance between the two. So you wrote A Mother's Journey, and you shared your story and your understanding, and it's absolutely brilliant. And it is a book of hope. It's lovely. And then you picked up your pen slash typed on your keyboard again and wrote your next book, which is.
Right, the next book is Demystifying Mediumship, What Makes a Medium? And the reason I wrote that, I actually enjoy the writing process, given, well, I'm writing a third one now, so I must. But when COVID hit, I didn't know how long it was going to, and Melbourne was the most lockdown city in the entire world.
Oh no.
We had six major lockdowns, so we weren't going anywhere for a long, long time. So I knew that I needed a project. So I actually meditated, and I get a lot of my, like a lot of mediums do, a lot of their answers and just clarity through simple meditations. So I did a meditation, I had my journal there, and I set the intention to tell me what I need to write about, what will the subject matter be? Because I knew the book would be written, but what it was going to be about was a mystery to me. So I came out of the meditation and just started writing, as I always do, not engaging the brain, just going with my soul. And when I reread it, it was basically that I needed to demystify what we do as a practice, because so many people think that it's some sort of weird sect, it's something wrong, it's something illegal, it's something immoral, and every other, negative, negative word that you could put with it. And so I wanted to demystify what mediumship actually is, and to explain it in simple terms about what it is, and that everyday garden variety people are the mediums. So what I'd also written that in order to demystify it, excuse me, I needed to invite a number of my medium friends from all around the world to get a cross-section of sexes, ages, backgrounds, and so on, and let them share their own stories about how they discovered their own mediumship. Just as I had my own backstory. I came into it very late at 55, but I know that there's so many other mediums that are natural born mediums who know their mediums from, that little 5-year-old, whereas the ability was there then, but I wasn't meant to discover it until much later. So I wrote a short list, and I decided I was only going to invite mediums who I knew personally and had a personal connection with. So that was my criteria. So I invited a number of the tutors from Arthur Findlay College, including Angie Morris and Sharon Harvey, because they deserved that to be have the opportunity to share their own stories in this book, because they were the ones that said I'd be writing the first book, and Sharon said more books. And And I also invited other tutors from the college who I've done a lot of study with, like Paul Jacobs and Lynn Parker, Andrew Manship. And I also included, she was, I only met her in 2019, but the lovely Anne-Marie Bond, who's now a tutor at the college, she was
Yes.
still in training then as a tutor. And the beautiful artwork on the front is actually spirit art that Anne-Marie has drawn when she's
Wonderful.
been communicating with the spirit world. And there's also a mixture of other students from the college. Adam Berry is also a tutor at the college now. There's friends from Australia and all around the world, so America and so on. So I wrote to them saying, look, I want to write a book. I want to demystify mediumship, and in order to do so, I'd like you to share, excuse me, your own journey towards mediumship. How did it come about? And of course, I've also included Tony Riley in there because that was my starting point. And I've also included Lorraine Kullross's story, who was the first medium that I saw, because I really wanted to know. I didn't know, even though I knew all of these people, I didn't know their backstories. So most of them, a couple of them wrote, put it in writing, and we would go through and sort of then I'd be trying to make a story out of it and so on. Others I record, it was all recorded, and then I'd transcribe it all. It was a long, long process, and then it would go back to be edited. But I was also trying to write it in the voice of the person, so that if anyone knows the 17 mediums that I've included here, when they're reading it, I'm hoping that they will actually feel that, oh, that does sound like Pam Pollington or Tony Riley or whoever it might be. And so that one took me a year and a half, but that was released 2018. Sorry, what am I saying? Last year, 2021. And it is sold all around the world as well. You can buy it shops, which I'm so thrilled, like Walmart and Target and Barnes and Noble and so on in America. They sell it online. It's sold at Waterstones in the UK and Blackwells and Amazon Book Depository, and they're both in ebook form, and they literally have gone everywhere. And I'm just in the process now of hopefully having it approved to go into Arthur Findlay College as well.
Amazing, amazing. And it is exactly what you've just said it is, which is so, I mean, obviously I know this because being a medium myself, I'm pretty ordinary, but it's just so lovely to read everybody's just they're just normal people living normal lives. And there's some tragedy in some of them and some moments where as a reader you can go, oh, here's the awakening, here's the push. But
There
there's
was
also,
always a switch for all of them, yes.
And it's just really lovely to also hear how, I mean, Paul Jacobs, he resisted it for a while. He didn't just go, this is my path, and swan off down it. And I think so often we think if it's right for us, we would just be carried along it. And they will make sure they keep offering it to you, but we also have to be involved in that process. So, yeah, I've really enjoyed it. Obviously, I've got my signed copy, so it's in pride of place in my house. So, two
Thank you.
amazing books there for people to read. And obviously you've got another one in the offing
Yes.
being created. So that's really
And can
exciting.
I just say something about the new one? I didn't know, I knew I wanted to write a fictional novel, and I knew there was going to be a murder in it. And I was setting some of it in Australia and some of it in England. But also, I've just come back from Arthur Findlay, where we reconnected this year in June, July, June, June.
June 2 July, I think.
June, yeah, June. And then I had a very long trip to Europe. And towards the end of that trip, I was gone for 9 weeks, but towards the end of it, I had a 1 week writer's retreat in France, so 2 hours south of Paris. We were in a small chateau, and there was a group of writers from America and Australia. And I'd been working on this sort of novel, not really knowing where to start or how to do it, which is why I was at a writer's retreat to learn how to do all of that. But I had sort of my mud map of what was going to happen in mind, but I couldn't work out the plot. I had a reading with Simone Key, who's an amazing tutor at Arthur Findlay. She's been there for a long time. And Simone was doing a spiritual assessment on me, and she's going and, telling me all of these things. She said, "Oh, you're writing another book." I was like, "Oh God, there's no secrets at all." I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "But I'm also being told that this book will somehow tie in with what you've been writing about in the past with the other books." And the penny just dropped for me. And as soon as I got out of there, I grabbed my book and I'm just writing all this stuff down. Because what I then decided to do, the missing part of the plot is to include in the murder mystery, to include some mediumship and mediums and also satanic cults versus mediumship, sort of, but in a family, anyway, so that's what I'm doing. But it gave me this absolute clarity just through the reading. So once again, that's how the spirit world works. Yeah.
Absolutely, they're so clever. It's absolutely
You
amazing.
better. Yeah.
So
So
tell us a bit about your mediumship and your mediumship work. Are you demonstrating it, Oz? What do you?
well, in Australia, Hannah, it's a bit different to the UK. A, we don't have, like, there's a handful of spiritual churches here, and to be honest, I've never attended one as a in the congregation. The only time I've been to the one in that's not too far away here in Brunswick was when Paul Jacobs and Biagio Troppiano were out here in 2019, just before the lockdown. And they were putting on a charity night, and I actually, of course, I wanted to go and catch up with them, see Paul and I, and to meet Biagio. And I wanted Serge to come, and he agreed to come with me. And because he'd never seen mediumship being demonstrated ever, and he was blown away by it. And Sam actually came through via Paul, and so did his mum, which was fantastic. So, and then Paul and Biagio came home and we had drinks and all the rest of it, and it was fabulous. So that one does exist, but I am going back there this year to do another course with them in January. But in terms of me demonstrating here in outside of, I don't. The only deming I do is I still sit in circle every Monday with another wonderful tutor from the college, Christine Morgan.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, she's my tutor every Monday morning. She's
Oh,
in
lovely.
Sydney, and so there's about we're from five different countries, I think, in her circle, and that's fabulous. So I do deming there, and I've been doing obviously deming in at Arthur Findlay, because I do go back every single year when we're not
You
tied to Australia because of COVID. And I also dem, I've done a number of Zoom courses with Chris Drew, who's fabulous, and Paul Jacobs, and they're all demonstrating courses. So,
Yeah.
yeah, but I need to be brave enough and put my big girl pants on. And actually, there's been an opportunity come up here in Australia with a terrific medium, Sharon Lee, and I just need to accept that opportunity and actually get up there and do it.
Good, do it. Do
Yeah,
it.
I know in my heart I will. It's just,
Do what I do, which is say yes to everything
I know there is,
and then
isn't
have the nervous breakdown afterwards. But
there?
you've
Yeah,
already committed, so there's
I know.
nothing you can do.
And the thing is, I publicly speak, and I was actually at her event, Sharon's event last week, as last month, sorry, as the speaker, and speaking in front of, I don't know, 80 or 100 people, and that didn't faze me. But anyway, it will happen. It will
It
happen. But
will.
it
It
will. I know it will, and I've been told it will. It's just a matter of me just doing it.
So, a couple of questions that I always like to ask people.
Sure.
What do you think makes a good medium?
You have to be truthful to not just to the sitter, but to yourself. And so you also have to be able to show empathy as a person. And to be a medium, you're going to be a sensitive person anyway, because unless you've got that level of sensitivity, you will never be able to communicate with the spirit world. So for people that just think that I want to be a medium, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to train, it's not going to happen for everybody because there are certain things that need to be there. But the mediums must be able to put their sitters, particularly on one-on-one sittings, they must be able to put that person, their client, at ease and to be able to just do their job without embellishing anything, to be completely honest with what they are receiving, excuse me, or indeed aren't receiving. And if they do their job properly, the reading, particularly if it's a mediumship reading versus a psychic reading, which is more about their past, present, and future, but that mediumship reading will actually just make them, it's life-changing, just like what happened to me with Lorraine. And a healing, a real healing begins to start within the person that you've just read for. And I'm now just digressing a bit from that, but I have done a number of readings for parents who have lost children, and I'm a member now of Helping Parents Heal, which I'd never heard of before. And it was only, and I wish I'd heard of them when Sam passed because they've been around a long time. They're American based, but they have other groups in the UK and Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, India, Canada, and so on. And earlier in January this year, I got an email from a woman in the UK, a lovely lady there, and she asked me, she said, "Look, I've read A Mother's Journey, loved it, and we're making it the book club book for the whole of February." And I was like, "Oh, wow." And she said, "Would you be kind enough to speak to the group at the end of the month?" So I did that, and it was, and she said, "Look, just 20 minutes will be fine." And I think we were talking for an hour and a quarter, and it was absolutely fabulous because, excuse me, I'm one of them. I'm not just someone trying to, that's written a book, and I'm not just a medium. I actually am a mother, author, and medium. So I was able to have a very open and honest conversation with them, which was fabulous. And then that made me think, well, if the English group wanted to speak to me, maybe the other ones would. So I contacted Australia and India, Canada, America, New Zealand, and so on. And so far, I've spoken to the Indian group, the Australian group. I'm speaking to Canada later this month. And hopefully, I'll be speaking to the American group as well. And they've put both of my books on their list of approved reading. So on their website, if grieving parents are looking for books to read to help them, both of mine are on there, which I'm so proud of. So
Wow,
yeah.
amazing.
So
You're smashing
yeah.
it.
But these people keep finding me, but I know once again they're being that spirit also. And the lady who found me, she's actually a medium as well.
Wow.
So that I think there was something going on there, so
All
which was
connected.
wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. I've loved hearing it. Obviously, I've loved reading your books, and I'm really grateful for you taking the time.
Thanks.
Kerry, where can people find you and your books?
Okay, they can find me at www.kerry, which is Kerry Alderuccio, Alderuccio.com. So that's the spelling there.
I will put it in the show notes anyway
Yeah,
for everybody.
and the books are available widely. If you're in America, there's a really, well, they're available at Target and Walmart and Amazon and Barnes and Noble and so on online. But there's a fabulous website there called indiebound.org. And if you go into that, there's every independent bookstore from Alaska to Hawaii is there. And there's literally thousands of them that stock both of my books because I've gone in and looked and I'm like, oh my God. So that's a great one as well. And they're both available as ebooks too. But you can buy them all over the world. So, and if anyone's looking for readings, it's just a matter of booking on my website. Yep.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, thank you, Hannah. And I've loved catching up with you.
Yeah, it's been
Thank you.
really lovely.